You ready for Basecamp Fitness's best deal yet? 7 days for $7. That's right, 7 days for $7. It's time to double down on your fitness goals and snag this offer before it's gone. Call or text Basecamp Fitness at 913-232-9770 or go to basecampfitness.com to learn more.
You are now in the pocket with Covell Hudson.
How's it going, Pocket Heads? It is Monday, 4/29/24, which is April 29th, 2024. And I said four because I forgot what four was, but...
You forgot which one came first?
Yeah, I forgot what four was in the months. But,
It's April.
It's April.
There we go.
It's April. 29 days past April Fool's Day. And, but yeah... That had nothing to do with anything. But we are in the pocket. It's a Monday. And Ty, I hope you get better. He's still laid up with some pneumonia. But, you know, yeah, he's gonna beat it like he beats on my good topics and my good takes here. He likes to beat on them. I think I beat on his more.
Yeah. Nah, but Ty gets a lot of flack on this show.
He does. But it's deserved. It's deserving. And Ty, I love you like a play cousin. But you know your takes be... I'm not even gonna mention on air what he said about Kevin Durant. I'm not even gonna do it. Not even gonna do it. But we have a good show for you today. It was an exciting weekend. And the things we're gonna discuss today is we're gonna discuss organizations. Good organizations. Good organizations are ran from the top down. Which means exactly what it there's no other way to say. Yeah, from the top down. So when the top takes care of business, everybody under them takes care of business. I had a better point. It was supposed to just come out smoothly.
No, they set the example.
They set the example. There it is. Because the old saying is BS rolls downhill. And the same thing as goodness. Goodness can run downhill. So we'll talk about good organization. And we'll discuss if the Chiefs are a good one or a bad one. A few months ago, everybody was judging the Chiefs off of two questions, judging the whole organization off of two questions. We would discuss the Chiefs draft class. I'm excited. Our production team told, you know, they told us, hey, you got to lean into the Covell was right because you're always right. And I was like, hey, but you know, I'm so humble.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
I remember that conversation when they told you, hey, you're always right, bro.
Well, yeah.
Keep it up.
But I'm like, hey, don't put me on that pedestal, man.
Yeah.
You know, but I put my pants on one leg at a time.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
We'll discuss the Chiefs draft class. And, you know, once again, it wasn't my idea, but we'll do a little bit of Covell was right in there because, I, you know, last 3 years in a row, I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but anyways, enough about me. We'll talk about the AFC West draft class as a whole, and we'll see how they did. Raiders got a tight end with the first pick. All right.
They got a tight end with their first pick last year, too.
Did they?
Yeah.
They did, didn't they?
It's a second rounder. They may have had a first-round pick. I can't remember who it was. Whoever it was, he wasn't that good. But, yeah, they drafted a tight end high last year. They drafted another one for we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I wonder if this is what the Patriots felt like in the 2000s. They're like, the Jets took a punter in the third round. They're going to outsmart us here. But we would discuss the AFC West draft class, and we'll see that if there's – is there any threat? Is there any new threat based on the draft? You know, I say no. But we would discuss for a little bit the Suns losing. They got swept. We'll discuss Kevin Durant very shortly. I don't know if we're going to have enough time, but Kevin Durant, he's still a great. He just wants to hoop. He doesn't want to do all the – he just wants to go hoop. And what he did for four straight games was hoop. He just didn't win. We'll do a little bit of in the pocket or out of pocket, maybe have a cameo from Ty on that, and we'll have a Royals rundown. So we have a pretty full show, so we're going to have to be pretty precise, and I can't bloviate, as Stephen A. Smith, the word he likes to use.
Well, but Ty's not here, so, you know.
Ty's not here.
We got time.
But you know what? I did realize last week, even with Dylan, we overran. So, you know.
Well, yeah. On our show on 810 last week, we did not plan on having a 10-minute Kadarius Toney segment, but you know, it just happened.
It just happened that way. How did what was the subject matter? I defending Kadarius Toney?
Yes,
again?
You were.
Well, you know, I'm a Kadarius Toney defender, and after this draft, it may change a little bit. Because now, you know, like even the Chiefs before the draft, they were like, no, that's our guy. We believe in him. We'll see how they feel after this draft.
Right.
They brought in some UDFAs as well.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, real quick, let's get into it. The Chiefs over the last few weeks, really over the last few months, they've been taking care of people. They took care of Chris Jones. The Chiefs took care of GM Brett Veach. President Donovan Smith.
Donovan Smith.
That's the left tackle. That's the left tackle I still want them to sign for some extra depth. Yes. Mark Donovan, the president. Andy Reid, the coach. They took care of those guys. Those guys, like, if you give them anything other than A over the last few years, you're kind of crazy. So, yeah. So they deserve to get taken care of.
Yeah, got some. They got, all of them got contract extensions.
All of them did. Mm-hmm. And Mahomes, they drafted another receiver. They drafted a tight end. They drafted a left tackle. So they like, hey, we ain't going to send you out there like that no more, man. We're going to take care of you. Maybe 5 more years from now, we're going to have to be like, are the Chiefs, you know, letting down Patrick Mahomes? But we'll take care of you the next year. Also, the Chiefs re-signed Travis Kelce to a 2-year deal. What, highest paid? I haven't seen the details of it, but highest paid tight end?
Correct. It is not an extension, as originally reported by Ian Rappaport. He said a 2-year contract extension. That is not true. It is just a raise.
It's a raise.
To make him the highest paid tight end in the NFL.
Okay, so good organizations take care of people. So, Kyle, let me ask you this, and this isn't a hot take, a hot question. I don't want to get this buzzing. Do you think there's any chance Travis said, so you drafted a dude with my measurables? So, yeah, what, you know what I mean? Are you trying to replace me? If not, show me the money. What's that movie, Sal?
No.
You don't think there's no chance?
That's from Jerry Maguire, that movie.
Jerry Maguire, show me
but,
the money.
But, no, I think you're reaching.
You think I'm reaching?
Travis Kelce has no reason to be worried.
No, he doesn't, but
he's the GOAT.
Yes, even GOATs at the end. Jerry Rice wanted to still get contracts and didn't want to see other receivers brought in.
I don't think – I think he got a raise because he is the best – he's one of the best, not just tight end, but best receiving options in the NFL. He's been doing it. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
But he's never been the highest paid tight end. And typically, when you make a guy the highest paid player in this position, he's 26.
Yeah.
He's so, and you know, like, yeah, and I'm not saying this is what he.
And I think at one point, you know, for a little bit, he was, right? And then George Kittle got himself a contract. And then Mark Andrews got himself a contract.
Yeah.
And that's just the NFL. Like,
yeah.
There was a point in time when Mahomes' deal, he was no longer annually the highest paid quarterback, you know. I think now he is, but it's just the NFL.
Yeah.
But I am shooting down your idea that because the Chiefs drafted Jared Wiley in the 4th round, that Travis Kelce said, hey, I need a raise.
Okay. So
I don't agree with that.
All right. So if you push back on him saying I need a raise, do you think it's just the Chiefs being a good organization and saying, let's take care of them?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Well, all right.
With all those guys, with Veach, Mark Donovan, and Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce, you add him in there, you guys are performing at the highest level possible.
But you know that's not usually how businesses do it.
No.
Organizations, they usually...
But if you want to keep those guys performing at a high level, you keep them happy, right?
Yeah. No, that makes sense, but that's usually not how it goes, you know?
Right.
Usually... People like to run the business, like dangle a carrot in front of you, you know, like always. Well, you know, if you work for this, you'll get this. But so, yeah, good organization. The Chiefs organization is taking care of their people. So Chiefs fans don't have to worry about their organization undercutting people, you know, people not, and you know, enjoying the workplace because, you know, that's a real thing. And before we get to the Chiefs draft class, I know we have to get to it. I want to discuss the Falcons for a second.
Okay.
You know, I took my notes on it the night of. I took notes on that draft, but I left it at home. But I'm pretty sure I got it all up here in this dome.
I can't wait.
So, a couple was about a month ago. Not even a couple months ago. That's free agency, right?
Yeah.
The Falcons signed Kirk Cousins, first Cousins. And they didn't just sign him, but they signed him to a rich contract. Well, 100 million guaranteed.
4 years, 180, I believe. I believe 160 guaranteed. I can look it up to confirm. But
I think it was just 100 guaranteed.
Okay.
But that's it's nothing to sneeze at. But the Falcons brought in Kirk Cousins and said, "You're our guy. We think we can win with you. We think we can win with you. We're going to put this money in your pocket, and we're going to give you the keys to the organization." It was what it was. 100.
Yeah. So 4 years, 180, 100 million guaranteed, no trade clause, and he will earn 62.5 in 2024.
Okay, so you give a guy the house, the trunk, whatever the saying is. They give him.
They gave him the farm. That's what they did.
They gave him the farm. They rolled out the red carpet. They said, "You're our guy." And they didn't just say it, because a lot of people in business or whatever can say things, but they put it in paper. No trade clause, like you said. You know, he's 36. That didn't seem like that was a problem a month ago, did it? But the Falcons drafted Michael Penix. There's a few jokes that come straight to my mind. But this is radio broadcaster Covell, not comedian Covell today. but they drafted him, and you know, there's so many layers to this. So the first layer is, besides not helping Kirk Cousins win today by getting him a receiver, getting him even a left tackle, getting somebody to shore up the defense, they didn't help him out at all.
Yeah, and this is the number eight pick.
And people are saying, well, the Packers did it. Those doofs of the Falcons actually said, we were looking at the Green Bay model. Why? Like, does that make sense to you? They haven't.
No.
They haven't won anything in the playoffs.
It also doesn't make sense because, you know, I want you to keep going. Then, you know, I'll give, you know, my reasons for why it's a hilarious pick, but. You know, when the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers, he was a young dude. Michael Penix is 24.
One of the oldest dudes in the draft.
Yeah. And he's had two ACL surgeries.
Yeah. That was even another layer.
Yeah. The deeper you look at this pick, the funnier it gets.
Like, the funnier and just bad. Just bad on so many levels. So yes. They drafted him in the eighth round, and you know
eighth pick. There you go,
eighth pick. And
there's no longer eight rounds.
No, it's not. It used to be 12, right? But the new thing in the league, the way to win, unless you have a superstar quarterback, is get you a quarterback young, while you're only paying him about $6 or $7 million, and then you put weapons around him. That is the formula that has been working over the last 20-25 years. The only exceptions is Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. And it would have been Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan gave up 28-3?
Yeah.
And they lost that game. So it's only two guys that won a Super Bowl being one of the highest paid quarterbacks, being a paid quarterback. So for them to even say in their press conference, we can probably have him sit for 4 years. That's the thing. I didn't make – He said.
Yeah, and then he'll come and be a first-year starter at 28.
At 28. So you don't know if you have to pick up that fifth-year option.
Right.
You don't know if he's any good. And 2024 with Kirk Cousins, you're not getting the best bang for your buck because they didn't try to build around him. Like, even if people can say drafting Jordan Love worked out for the Packers – Aaron Rodgers didn't win the Super Bowl that year. They could have helped him win a Super Bowl. And now Kirk Cousins, if he throws a pick, the whole city of Atlanta is going to be calling for the backup. Whose team is it? Like Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix is going to be going to training camp the first time together.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. That's like one of the all-time bad drafts.
Yeah, and I'm sure Kirk Cousins is a great dude, but, you know, not everybody is Alex Smith, right? Not everybody is going to have a – when the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, I'm speculating, to be honest here.
Yeah.
So take this with a grain of salt, but I'm sure Alex Smith was aware that they were looking at this guy.
Yeah.
But reports were that on draft night, on round one, Kirk Cousins, you know, got called while the Falcons were on the clock. And according to him, it was a surprise. And well, him and his agent, they were surprised.
His family was surprised. Yeah. His wife was putting a sweater on the hanger and was like, what?
They drafted who?
Everybody's partying, but she's like, here's your next shirt, Kirk Cousins. But, like, it's like, and to be fair, I'm not going to say I feel bad for Kirk Cousins. I do a little bit because they told him. They told him with words and paperwork.
Oh, hey, by the way, you know.
Yes, but Nick Wright mentioned some, like, you know, when you've decided to be a mercenary, when you decided to be a sellsword, essentially, and not, because, you know, he could have made a deal to stay with Washington. Yes. He could have made a deal to stay with Washington. He did the franchise tag for 2 years. Then he took the big money with the Vikings. He took the money from the Vikings, and they were like, hey, we family now.
On that front, I'm not sure that the Vikings were going to have him back.
No, they did.
He tore his Achilles, and he's 35.
No, the Vikings wanted him back, but they didn't, you know, they didn't want to pay him like he was a free agent quarterback, which I think is fair. Like, give us a 10-year joint. You know, give us a 10-year deal or something. But Kirk Cousins is, you pay me top dollar or I leave. But when you have that approach, you know, there's not a lot of trust on either side. You know, like, nobody in Atlanta has seen him, his blood, sweat, and tears, you know what I mean, for them to be like, oh, that's our guy.
Right.
So it's not his fault. It's the business, but that's over. Yeah, one of the worst drafts I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I like what you said at the beginning of this, and we'll move on here. I know we're probably spending a little bit more time than we planned on.
Yes.
What you said at the beginning, they got Kirk Cousins to win now, right? They have a young, cheap roster, mind you. Kyle Pitts, Drake London, both really talented young offensive weapons.
Bijan
Robinson. And you haven't paid them yet. And you pay big money for your quarterback because you've got cheap assets around him. Yeah. With the number 8 pick, go get somebody that can help you win today.
Today, yes.
And
yes.
I don't understand it. He's 24, two ACL surgeries.
So Kirk Cousins is coming off an ACL.
Achilles, yeah.
Achilles. He has two ACLs. He had a shoulder injury. So, like, yeah, he has the most baffling. That they, like, and I'm not, I don't know those guys, but they seem to me to be smart dummies. Because they're like, oh, look at this. We can get him at number 8, and we can do this. Nobody saw that coming, but it's still dumb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right. Nobody did see it coming.
No, yeah,
it was
yeah.
stupid. That's why.
Like, but even their explanation wasn't even good.
No,
they
it
don't.
Wasn't.
Did you see the clip of the owner?
Yeah.
They were talking, and there's no way we could know what they were talking about.
Right.
But it looked like, no, see, we're going to draft him, and then we're going to do that. And he was like, huh? Excuse me? So, yeah, that wasn't even – I didn't even write that down. I just had to – I could not bring up.
I mean, it's just a terrible process because I can guarantee you they can trade back to probably end of the first round, got some hauls, got some picks that they can draft
That's
some young, cheap
layer.
Players.
That's another layer.
And they still could have got Michael Penix.
Yes, yes. The onion of that draft pick is just
– it stinks. That's what it is.
It's awful. It's very awful. Wow. So Ty, it's not your fault. It's not Ty's fault that we be off. All right,
Ty, are you pumped? Oh, he's not here. That's right. I was going to ask him if he's pumped about JJ McCarthy and his Minnesota Vikings.
Well, of course he'd have to lie about it. All right, so we'll switch gears and go to the Chiefs draft class, and I'll give him my grade at the end. But let's do a quick little. Let's see if we can do this in 5 or 6 minutes. A quick little run through them. But I tend to want to talk.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
All right, all right.
I'm very excited to see you pronounce our left tackles, our new left tackle's name.
Ew, all right, I should have been practicing that. That's what I should have been doing. But so I'm just going to say Covell was right. Last week I put
You predicted wide receiver.
I predicted wide receiver and then offensive tackle.
Woo!
For the second pick. Uh-huh. And if you remember, I had tied in third, but me, you, and Dylan were talking, and we talked about Aminahue being out, and, you know, so you're like, we need an edge. We can never have too many edges, so I blame you for that. But I switched tight end with edge, so I would have got it all, the top three picks. Swell.
Well, if you change your answer on your test and it was actually the right answer, do you go to your teachers? Hey, are they going to listen to you, Covell?
No, but if it was a multiple choice, they will see that I had C scribbled first.
Yeah, and then you say, oh, you still got it wrong.
Yeah, no, I still got it wrong, but a teacher would do this. You had the right idea. Yeah. You just, you know, got to count it wrong because that's my job. But yes, yeah, so the wide receiver we took was Xavier Worthy. He is a receiver out of Texas. What, 5'11", 165 pounds.
Yeah, it's like 5'11 and a quarter, and he's about 165. After that pick, Brett Veach was talking to the media, and he stated that they'd like to get him up about 10 or 15 pounds.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm like, well, Veach, you didn't have to say that. Yeah. Like,
So does his size worry you? I know you wanted a an A.D. Mitchell or a Keon Coleman type.
Or Brian
Thomas Jr.
I kind of wanted Brian Thomas after I looked at him a little bit.
Right, and those guys are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4".
Yes, even there was another guy. The other Xavier was 6'1", Leggett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he went Keon, the guy that Bills got, he's funny. I've seen this press conference.
Yeah, he's funny.
But he's 6 foot, over 6 foot.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah, those are big jump ball receivers. You know?
But Andy Reid has a type.
Yeah.
The Chiefs organization has a type. And I'm not mad about it. He's the fastest dude in history.
Yeah, he ran the fastest 40 in combine history.
So you take MVS off the field and you put Xavier Worthy. And I feel like that makes us a better team. That makes that a better position. What do you think?
Yeah, and add in Hollywood Brown on the other side of the field.
Yes.
Or if they're lined up in trips with Kelsey.
And then Rashee Rice driving 119. and then Rashee Rice in the slot moving around the field.
Yeah.
And then you have Sky Moore holding the water bottles.
I was waiting for something like that.
I'm trying to.
Tony is in the trainer's room, but yeah.
Oh man, Tony. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Xavier Worthy, I believe is a good pick.
Justin Watson's holding the clipboard.
Justin Watson gonna be on the field either way. Like,
that's true.
The way Justin Watson plays, he's gonna do his thing either way. So,
Justin Watson is going to take over the MVS role. That's what's gonna happen.
Yuck! Don't say that.
That's what they do. No, they both run. They both run deep. They both block. That's what they do. Justin Watson, MVS, one and the same.
That's fair. I hope he takes his spot. His reps, Justin Watson.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, I typically don't like regular size dudes. You know, for NFL, but you know, especially receiver. But I'm fine where he was productive. As a freshman right away, he was productive at Texas, and that's not a small university. Yeah. That's not a small conference. And he didn't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got hurt one time.
Yeah.
I think it was a shoulder or something like that.
That's just football.
So, Patrick
said. He's young, too. I mean, he was a 21. Freshman. Yeah. He just turned 21 this weekend. So,
opposite of what the Falcons did.
That's right. Chiefs drafted somebody nearly 4 years younger than the Falcons guy.
And he's going to play right away.
Immediately.
And he's got to wait.
Yeah.
Lord.
Xavier Worthy's going to get a second contract by the time Penix is not even done with his first.
That'd be interesting. That'd definitely be interesting. But so I won't give a grade individually. I'll give an overall grade and then say how I feel about him or whatever. But like I said, yeah, I think that's a good pick. That's exciting.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, what is it, Legion of Zoom is back.
Mm-hmm. He's not a Tyreek Hill, but he's not Mecole Hardman. This guy, he runs routes.
He's kind of like Waddle.
Yeah. There you go. That's a great comp.
Yeah.
I saw some DeSean Jackson floating around there. Track the ball deep.
Yes, and he's more athletic than DeSean was. Mm-hmm. He's technically faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, and DeSean got drafted by Andy Reid.
Right.
So Andy Reid is already, you know, he has plans. Yeah. So, no, it's pretty exciting. Let's give grades on him. I'll give that one a B+.
I'm giving it an A.
You're giving it an A?
Yeah.
I'd give it an A if he's an inch taller. But he's getting a B+. Because I wanted somebody that
he's
can...
He's almost 6 foot. He puts on cleats. He looks 6 foot.
They said 5'11". I am 5'9 and 3/4". I played at 5'11". When I wanted to be more honest, 5'10". But, you know.
Just put some of those lifts in his shoes, you know, some cushions, and he'll look 6 foot.
That's true. So, yeah, I give it a B+. You gave it an A. All right. Kingsley Suamatia.
Nice.
Is that how you say it?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I said that pretty nice. Offensive tackle. This could be our new left tackle.
Yeah.
And Wanya Morris could back him up. Mm-hmm. And Donovan Smith be ready just in case that boy can't play.
Yeah. Donovan Smith is on speed dial. You know, I think once we get to training camp, the Chiefs will kind of assess what they have in Morris and Kingsley. I'm just going to call him Kingsley.
Kingsley?
That's between, a cop out. Between Morris and Kingsley, Suamatia. Okay, yeah. I won't cop out. I'll say his name. But once they get to training camp, they'll see what they have. And, you know, if they find out, okay, maybe these guys aren't really ready to protect the blind side of Patrick Mahomes, let's call Donovan. You know, get him in here.
But then I'm sure Donovan and his representation is like, we're not just going to sit here waiting.
That's what they did last year.
Yeah, that's true. But he didn't get a ring with us. He just got a ring with us. So
that's true. And what I wanted to bring up here, Covell, is
he jumps out of a pool. Well, go ahead.
I did see that video. No, the guy is a freakish athlete. Also, very young.
21.
Yeah. You're seeing a pattern here?
Yes. Yep.
The first two picks, young athletic freaks, right?
Mm-hmm. And kind of throughout the whole draft, all these dudes are freaks in their own.
Yeah. No, they're the relative athletic score, the testing.
Yes.
Most of the Chiefs draft picks do have elite athletic scores. But I do want to bring this up, Covell. NFL writer Arif Hassan and many others, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were very high on most of the Chiefs draft picks. Kingsley, the consensus had him at the 43rd overall prospect. Chiefs picked him at pick 63.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's essentially a second rounder that we got. Second round.
Yeah.
In the second round.
Yeah. You got him late in the second round. Yes, he was supposed to be early, you know?
No, like, and if you look at the value to ratio thingy, I don't know what the exact formula is, but the Chiefs got good value on all picks, mm-hmm. which is, you know, kind of crazy. So yeah, like, and he's athletic, he's fast. They said, you know, his hands get frumpy every once in a while, but you can't coach big, you can't coach greatness. I mean, freakiness.
Yeah, and his, and like, he's got his family, the bloodline.
He has a lot
so
of guys.
Many
yes.
NFL dudes. Penei Sewell, who just became the highest paid left tackle by the Detroit Lions, he's related to that guy.
Yeah.
He's related to Puka Nacua of the Rams. It's insane.
Yeah, so like he's – yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I'll give that one a B+ as well.
Yeah, I'll give it an A.
You give it an A?
Yeah.
So the only reason I'm not giving it an A is – I don't know. It's got to be hard to get an A. Like, it's, you know, I can't just give you an A.
I think the next pick, you should probably give him an A just on the value alone. But
Jared Wiley?
Yeah. Sorry, the pick after that. We'll get to that.
I'm like, no, he was right.
The reason I'm giving Worthy and Kingsley both an A is two positions in need, and you filled it with two athletic freaks.
Yeah.
Who can probably come in. We'll see about Suamatia. But Worthy can absolutely come in and make an impact right away.
But the reason I'll say B+ is Xavier Worthy could be too small. He could not get open. He could not fit the need. You know what I mean? And Suamatia, yeah, I'm getting pretty good at that. Suamatia, he is not a technician when it comes to pass blocking and run blocking. He's more of a freak of nature. So like I said, so they, you know, they're, I love the picks. I don't even, not saying I don't love the picks. I just can't give them an A.
And for those worried about Xavier Worthy, I mean, just look at Devontae Smith.
He's been hurt.
No, he hadn't.
He got hurt a few times.
Not really.
From with the Eagles?
Yeah.
The last playoff game he was hurt.
I don't remember that, but they just gave him $25 million per, so.
Yeah, they did. But that's what we can look forward to. And I have to try to talk myself out of him a little bit because I am really excited about this draft.
Just
because
his height starts with a 5?
Yeah. Oh, well, no, God. His weight ends in the middle is a
He'll
6.
They'll beef him up.
Well, no, yeah, I know.
He'll be all right.
But like a Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, somebody that we can get the ball on the perimeter and he's going to run you over. You know, in the middle of the field, and he's not Travis Kelce, and he's going to go up and get it from you. You know, well, that's kind of what...
That's what you wanted.
Yes.
Well, Andy Reid wanted a guy who's going to catch the ball and run away from you.
Yes.
Going towards the end zone.
That's fair. And that's probably more productive than what I want, some old school football.
You want Kareem Hunt at wide receiver.
Or, I mean, you know, even something like that. Something like that. A quick Witten. Anyways. All right. So, yeah, that one I'll give a B+. You give an A. All right, we have Jared Wiley at 131 at tight end. And in college, dubbed as Baby Travis Kelce. Or was it? Yeah.
Who
Kelce
said
Jr.
That?
It was newspapers in where he was going to school. They call him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, I thought that was well known.
No, but tight end from TCU. And you'll never guess, but he was a former quarterback. Maybe that's where the Baby Kelce comes from.
And he does everything Kelce does, but probably does that jig. He can't do that jig, like, you know.
Yeah.
I can't even do it, so, you know.
But, again, you've got I'm not really sure if tight end really was a huge position of need, but eventually.
It was.
They were going to hell.
It was.
As Kofel shows me his sheet. Yes, it was.
Oh, I guess everybody, yeah, we're on the radio.
Yeah, okay. That's right. But, you know, it's an athletic freak again.
Yes.
He's fast. He's big. He can jump.
Yes, and you almost pick him up on his measurables alone, and then you see that he had 8 touchdowns last year. Mm-hmm. Then you see that he has soft hands. I looked at some highlights. He moves pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be the next Travis Kelce, but we have 3 tight ends that can move and catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's not often.
Yeah, and Wiley's enormous, so I'm sure if he's not a great blocker, you can at least make him a good blocker.
Or get him in the way, you know. Just,
yeah.
Just set a screen over there.
And, yeah.
You know. So, no, yeah, and that's, once again, that's the first 3 picks are offense, which is an emphasis on telling Patrick, we got you. We're not going to just throw you out there with this dude's name, MVS, and stuff. Wow, I'm not turning on MVS. But, but Jared Wiley, I'll give that pick C+.
I'll give it a B.
C+.
I think he got good value once again. Consensus had him a little bit higher than where he's picked. And this isn't, you know, he's not a Blake Bell type. I don't even think he's a Noah Gray type. He's a better athlete than Noah Gray.
He's a Travis Kelce
type. He's got a little bit more potential than you know, Noah Gray does. So Veach obviously went for athleticism, which usually means potential. So
yes, and he's a little bit older than the other guys. I think he's 23. But he should be able to come in and make some plays and give us depth and just, yeah. No, so, like, it's another good pick. So, 4th pick, Jaden Hicks from Washington State. That one there, I didn't think the Chiefs needed a safety. But you get the value.
Mm-hmm.
So, they picked him at 133. What was his projected?
Consensus?
Yes.
Jaden Hicks, consensus, 67.
67. So that's almost double. Like, and you know what? The reason I think he didn't get picked up is because not a lot of teams prioritize an in-the-box safety. But the Chiefs prioritize, what's the word? Not flexibility.
Versatility.
They prioritize somebody that can come here and do this. Like, guys moving around. Freak athletes that can tough dudes, so he fits in kind of like Jaden Hicks, and we'll talk about the corner Kamal Hayden. You put them together, you got Legarius Sneed. So the Chiefs were trying to build and get some value. So I think that's a good pick. That's probably a B pick there.
Yeah,
I don't know where he's gonna play though.
And guys like Matt Miller and some other, you know, scouting experts had Hicks as the number 1. Or 2 safety.
Yes.
In the entire draft class. I'm going to address you know, your comment about they don't need a safety. Okay, maybe, yeah, safety wasn't a huge need, but now you've got a little bit of security. Mike Edwards, no longer going to be a Chief. Brian Cook coming off of ACL/MCL injury, I believe, or ankle,
yeah,
something like that. It helps to have some depth there and some projectability. I believe this is the final year of Justin Reed's contract too. So,
yes, and I hope we keep him around.
Yeah,
we can't keep recycling safeties. I guess we can, but
yeah. Well, Veach has shown that
he can.
He's gonna try. Yeah,
he's gonna try. He's like, Brian Cook, hope you get better. Just get a safety in here, please.
Yeah. But overall, yeah, I'm gonna give this pick an A.
An A.
Incredible value. Many people had this Hicks kid as a second rounder, and you get him in round four.
Yeah, I'd love to have you as a teacher, but they're getting a B for me. But those first four picks are very solid picks, which is, you know, all you can kind of ask for from your first four. Fifth pick, Hunter Nuorzad. I don't know that's how you pronounce it. These we can get through pretty quicker, but yeah, athletic dude. He, you know, got a lot of experience. He played on both sides. Chiefs love versatility. He tests good. He's in a good conference.
Yeah, and second team All Big Ten. I was looking through his awards. He's got several awards, yeah, throughout his career. And I was listening to Saran on the way up here talking mm-hmm. about this kid. Many think he's a day one plug him in stardom, right?
Well, go ahead.
And you get more depth for offensive line, which is huge. Because right now, I think you only have Caliendo as a depth piece. Nick Allegretti's gone.
And who's that other guy? We lost another lineman. Like every year, we lose a lineman to somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But wow, you know, this is a good move. You know, you got two offensive linemen to help depth.
Yeah.
We'll see if Suamatia. We'll see if he starts, but yeah, keep Patrick protected.
Well, I'm hoping that they're not planning on Hunter being the replacement for Creed. I hope we just give Creed a long-term deal because he's one of the best in the league right now.
Yeah, you think about Creed, Trey Smith, and Joe Tooney on the other side. You know, there's going to be some decisions to make in the next year or two about their contracts.
For sure. But depth is what the Chiefs always done at the offensive line. We have Kamal Hayden. Yeah, he fell in the draft because he ran a 4.6 40, and he's kind of injury prone. But he has kind of the build, and he's a poor man's LeJarius Sneed is what we can say about him.
Yeah, Covell, I'm gonna read this tweet from Matt Derrick. LeJarius Sneed combine, 6'1.5", 192 pounds, 31 3/8-inch arms. 10-yard split, 151. Kamal Hayden, same exact numbers.
Oh, it's neat?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so they were literally...
yeah, the same dudes.
The same dudes. And, you know, hey, if it's not broke, don't fix it. If it's not broke. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, that's how you say it. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited for depth. We it looks like, as of now, we won't need him to come in as a freshman.
Rookie, yeah.
We won't need him to come in as a rookie like Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams had to do, but they may be called upon at some point.
Yeah, but I'm going to trust, you know, I'm going to trust the Chiefs scouting department say that's a great pick because they made, you know, I think it was Jalen Watson who was the year before he was working at Burger King, right?
Yeah.
And that they find, or maybe that was Joshua Williams, I think. But,
one
you know,
of them was
undervalued defensive backs. Think about Charvarius Ward, too. Right,
yeah.
He was a sixth or seventh rounder.
Him
studs.
He was undrafted.
I think you're right about that.
He was undrafted, mm-hmm. and Kansas City hated on him every chance they could. I loved Charvarius Ward. He's still balling.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to trust, you know, Dave Merritt, defensive back coach, one of the best in the league. And Brett Veach is scouting on defensive backs. It's just, I don't think he's missed.
Yes, and defensive backfield, DBs. Linebackers, you know, our corners, like, yeah, I don't see a lot of holes with this team. Last player is CJ Hansen, guard from Holy Cross. I think that seventh round pick was one of those, we're going to need a guard, or let's take a flyer on him. This dude's a freak athlete, too. Everybody's RAS is great, except for I think it was Xavier Worley, just because of his size. Mm-hmm. But everything else, he was good. So, yeah, C.J. Hansen, I believe, he was just, we're going to need, we lost Wiley. We lost a few offensive linemen these last few years. So, mm-hmm. We're going to keep the depth pieces. Three offensive linemen, that's pretty – I like how they did that.
Yeah.
So, overall –
build some depth. Some young, cheap guys, right?
Like they did 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because I remember when they signed Nick Allegretti. And look at him now. So, yeah, overall, I give the draft a B+. You know – it feels like right now we feel good about it, and then in a year or two, we're going to feel good about it because the Chiefs draft guys that are plug-and-play guys for the most part.
Yeah. My grade, I'll give it an A. You got incredible value, and you got it at spots of need.
Yeah. That's exciting. We won't have time to go through everybody in the AFC West, but none of them scare me.
No. I think the Chargers did have a good draft. They got a left tackle. They already have a good left tackle in Rashawn Slater. But, keeping their quarterback protected. And they got a nice wide receiver that many projected to the Chiefs in Ladd McConkey from Georgia. And then they also got Brendan Rice, son of Jerry Rice, later in the draft. They did have a nice class. I think we can kind of laugh at the Chargers because I don't think they're going to be all that great this year.
No.
But they are the threat in the AFC West if one is to arise.
That's because I have a quarterback.
Yeah, right.
That's the only – but
– and the Raiders, like we've mentioned, they drafted another tight end so that Gardner Minshew can throw to two tight ends.
They're going to run that they're taking the model from the Patriots over the last few years.
with Hernandez and Gronkowski?
No. That's all they've had to throw to is tight ends in New England for a while.
They've got Adams in Vegas.
Yeah. You can't get them. If they can't get them the ball,
that's a good point.
They want to throw it in the middle. Yes, good draft class. Man, I hate that I brought the Falcons up because that took about 8 minutes for no reason. But we'll be back after this to discuss more of the Chiefs. We'll do a Royals rundown, and we'll talk some other stuff. We'll be out here. We are back in the pocket, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM, ESPN, Kansas City. And we're going to discuss a little bit of baseball. We're going to come in, and Kyle is going to do our Royals rundown.
Covell, that's right. Now, let's talk about the previous week of the Kansas City Royals. I believe my prediction was for them to go 4-3 total. So, counting it up, starting last Monday, the 22nd, you had a four-game series against the Blue Jays at home, and you won 3 out of 4, right? Excellent. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays are a playoff contender. Then you go on the road to Detroit, win the first game 8-0. So, right there, you're sitting at 4-2, but you drop the next two games. So, I nailed my prediction, but I wasn't happy about it.
Because
in Detroit, I think you should have won. At least you should have won that second game on Saturday. You lose by one run. You have a blow-up inning by one of your relievers in the seventh, who had been pretty good all year, Chris Stratton. He had been pretty good all year. Kind of got torched on Saturday. Should have been a 5-2 week, but 4-3. The Royals are still 17-12 in the first month of the season. All signs looking up.
Yeah, we would wish they do better against bad teams or teams under 500. Mm. They're playing good against the good teams, but they're playing.
Yeah. This year the Tigers are very, very comparable to the Royals.
Yes, very close record. Very so. Like the Royals are 12-5 at home, 5-7 away.
Yeah.
So
they've been struggling to get the bats going. Away from Kauffman, that's for sure.
And Detroit is 6-8 at home and 10-4 on the road, so they're the opposite.
Oh, like wow.
They're the Chargers.
Well, the Chargers always have away games. Come on now. But, yeah, no. We'll make this Royals rundown a little bit quick, the Royals have a lot of dudes who are struggling right now, but they're still finding a way to win games, and that's a sign of a good team.
That worries you? That makes you feel better?
It does make me feel better if these slumps, you know, don't get curtailed in the next couple weeks. Yeah, then I will be worried about a couple guys, namely MJ Melendez, who is really struggling. But over this next week, and Ty, if you're listening, here's going to be my prediction. You've got three against the Blue Jays in Toronto, and then you've got three against Texas, the defending champs. This is going to be tough. Two good teams. You're playing away to in Toronto. Then you come home versus Texas. I need at least 3-3. Let's keep the winning weeks up. At least 3-3. I would love 4-2.
Detroit may catch up if we go 3-3.
Yeah.
So let's hope for a 4-2. Let's hope to go win a lossless this week.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, it would be nice.
But yeah, there's my Royals rundown. Well, let's talk some hoops.
All right, let's do that. So, last night, Kevin Durant and the Suns got swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that is the first sweep in Minnesota Timberwolves history, which is kind of crazy to think about. And Devin Booker played good, 49 points. Kevin Durant played good, 33 points. But they lost. And the thing that plagued the Suns in this playoff game is the same thing that plagued them all season. In the fourth quarter, they're not doing the same thing they do in the first three quarters. And that's mainly because they don't have a point guard and they don't have depth. And the Suns kind of shot themselves in the foot because they didn't win, but they had DeAndre Ayton that had size and depth. They gave them depth. And they had Chris Paul, who ran point guard. They looked like a team that didn't have a point guard because those teams typically don't do good in crunch time unless they're not blowing you out. So, ugly game. The coach is out for, you know, he's going to be out for a while.
Frank Vogel, he's going to get fired.
No, but yeah, most likely. But the Timberwolves, Conley ran into him. They said he has a torn patella tendon.
That's right, yeah.
As a coach. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Well, fortunate for him. He can just sit on the sideline, you know, on a stool and still coach.
He still got a role over there.
His team won, you know?
Yeah. And he gets a week to learn his new life of being an old man with a torn patella. So
it's going to be tough to, you know, run at the ref, call timeouts in a packed arena.
For sure.
With a crutch, you know?
That's going to be rough. But, like, I didn't see the Suns getting far in the playoffs. I didn't see them getting swept, though.
And Bradley Beal was not good either. He only had 9 points. And well, that is supposed to be the third member of your big three.
Well, he gets paid like he should be in a big three.
Yeah, he does.
But he plays as if he should be a rotational player.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah, and he was a star in Washington, but, you know, like you said, they don't have a point guard. They've got three dudes who can score at will, but you don't have great defense. And
you don't have
like
size.
You said, yeah, the offense, they run. It's ugly.
Yeah, we can go to some AAU tournaments this weekend. And I'll say, those are the Suns. That team is built like the Suns. That's why they're going to win Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But they usually don't take home the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
But remember my it poop from a few weeks ago? I said if Anthony Edwards wins the championship, I think he's the new face of basketball. And did you see those plays yesterday?
Yeah.
It looked.
The dude is 22 and damn impressive. And he's taking out the stars, you know?
Yeah. And this team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they shouldn't be ready to do what they're doing right now. But that points to the greatness of Anthony Edwards. The only difference is, well, they have Mike Conley, which is like 80 years old, but he's still out there giving quality minutes. But guess we don't have to talk about all the series. We don't have that much time. But how do you feel about Kevin Durant as a player?
You know, I really don't have a problem with him. I understand. You know, I was mad at him when he went to Golden State years ago.
Yeah.
And I get that. And I do like Kevin Durant. His podcast is a nice listen. I think he's hilarious on social media. But as a NBA player, did he get his rings and just felt that was enough? Because he's building these super teams. He goes to Brooklyn with Kyrie. They get Harden down there. That didn't work. Kyrie didn't work. And then now this. He had CP3 and Ayton, like you said, and Booker. That didn't work, obviously. And now he's got Beal along with Booker. That didn't work. Does he want to win? Because if he wants to win, he's not doing it the right way.
Well, I don't think it's a question of him wanting to win. You know, he said a while ago, you remember when he said he was tired of being second. It was about 10 years ago. He was tired of being second. In high school, he was always the second best. In AU, the second best dude. In the NBA, behind LeBron, he was the second best. So when he went to Golden State, he thought he was going to get his rings and people were going to stop saying he can't win. And then they put him like fourth.
Right.
They said, you know, the important level is Curry, Draymond, and Draymond is very important because he like runs the offense, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Which should take some credit from Steph Curry a little bit. But anyway, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. And they're like, oh, yeah. And we have Kevin Durant. So he didn't like that. So he was like, you know, I'm going to go do my own thing. And I'm going to leave one of the most mentally stable guys as a point guard in Steph Curry in the organization and go to. Even the owner joked around. Do you remember that press conference? Or after a championship win, he was like, he said something like, no, not him, because he's not one of the original ones. And Kevin Durant was like, even you? Do you remember that?
No.
Because the owner.
What I do remember was Draymond yelling at him saying, we don't even need you, right?
Yes, but before then, the owner, like they were somewhere and they were like, no, that's Clay. He was the original. He was here originally or something like that. So like, I think Kevin Durant did not want to, he did not want to have that second stigma thingy.
Yeah.
So, and he didn't like, and Draymond Green, I can see how he can be taxing.
Yeah.
You know, and for him
just
to say.
Just ask Jordan Poole. Yeah.
Yeah, just ask Jordan Poole's face. But he went to the Nets. He wanted his own thing. And then he was like, let me see what Kyrie Irving. Then he got the, like, he turned from probably being the second best player in this generation to probably the eighth. And that doesn't happen too often when injuries isn't the reason. He had injuries, but he's healthy.
Yeah.
He played good, but he.
And frankly, a lot of people devalue his rings anyway.
Yeah. Right? They won't 20 years from now. Even I think, 10 years.
Well, I will.
You will? You will? But history doesn't usually look at those type of things. History usually looks at how many rings did he have? How many points did he score? He's one of the GOATs.
Yeah.
But.
And, you know, I've always had this issue. There's no problem with building super teams, right? I mean, Jordan had a super team. Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman were two of the other really good players in the league, right? It's just not working out for Kevin Durant.
No, and kind of like Kirk Cousins, when you decide to just go wherever,
just hop around.
There's not going to be love. The organization isn't going to make long term decisions based on you.
Yeah.
So that was one of his biggest. You know, if he stayed in Golden State, now I don't think the Golden State was ever going to. They were, they were never going to love him. But he should have known that in the beginning. They were never going to love him like he was the redhead stepchild, is what he was. But that wraps up In the Pocket today. We'll be back next Monday. We'll dig deep. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about the draft more. We're out of here.